Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the great love that is given to us because of the sacrifice. And so, Father, I ask you tonight, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our hearts will be willing to take what comes in and will listen attentively, as we always should when your word is being brought forth. And may it be the power of the Holy Spirit working through this servant this evening. Just speak to our hearts and do whatever is necessary that's needed in our lives, individually and collectively. And we will be sure and quick to give you praise, glory, and honor. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus, the one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, this is going to be a short message, I hope. We're only going to have three verses, but I'm just going to focus in on one. And the three verses will be in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14, 15, and 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. I remember back in the old days when I was a full-fledged fanatic Pentecostal, I used to put a ton of humor in my messages. And I used to always use the one TV show, Flip Wilson. You remember that show? The Devil Made Me Do It? Here you come to judge. Or The Devil Made Me Do It? And I used that for quite a bit. And it used to be a mantra. It's not my fault. The devil made me do it. Or it's not my fault. Pastor Stoll made me do it. Or so on and so forth. But as I continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I look in the rear, in the mirror, not the rear view. I look in the rear view too, but I look in the mirror every morning and I say, that's who made me do it. That's who made me do it. If you're born again, then you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you sin. When you sin because you want to. It's as simple as that. And I can back that up with Scripture if I had time. I don't have time. It's in James. Okay? You can look it up yourselves. I'd like you to. Because every time I sin because I want to. No other reason. Because I don't have to sin. None of us in this room, if we're born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't have to sin. All right? God has promised us that if we will be obedient and walk in His commandments, and let the Holy Spirit guide us, and listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us, and He speaks to us constantly. He's always speaking to us. He's never silent. But He really shouts at us when we're reading the Word, because He's speaking to us very, very loudly when we read the Word. Because I've told you this before, this is the Logos, the written word, right? The written word. Now, Jesus is what? It's not a trick question. If this is the written word, Jesus is what? The living word. Amen? He is the living word. So, if we will be faithful, read this word, and let this word become part of our lives, become a part of everything that we do, even when we're walking down the street, even when we're working, or some of us don't have to work anymore, let it become part of us. And then we will, this is not a popular saying, but we will come into a perfection, not a full perfection, but a perfection constantly going forth for that perfect perfection that will come on that last moment of breath. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's a promise. We can work towards perfection, but the perfection comes with the power of the Holy Spirit working within us through the Word. All right? So I'm going to read the Scriptures, then I'm going to focus in on 15. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profound and empty chatter, for they will lead to more ungodliness. Amen? All right. God's Word. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. The Word of God, the Bible, God's inspired Word, is the only conclusive source of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding concerning ultimate realities. I'm going to read it once more. Understanding concerning ultimate reality. This is reality. Amen? This will keep us on the right path to reality. We can't blame TV. We can't blame the media. We don't have to listen to that garbage. We don't have to be entertained by the world. And that's most of our problem. We want to be entertained. Everybody in this room wants to be entertained. What was that song? Let me entertain you. We do. We want to be entertained. The flesh desires to be entertained. We can't be just happy, loving one another, loving the Lord, sharing His Word, coming together, koinonia, but we've got to have that worldly entertainment. We were brought up with it. It's ingrained in us. And why is that? Because we have a sinful nature. That sinful nature wants to be entertained. We want it. We crave it. We desire it. We lust after it. And I'm saying we. I'm not saying yous. I'm saying we. Some more so than others. Amen? Some more so than others. It's a fountainhead of freeing truth. Fountainhead of freeing truth. John 8:32. Lots of scripture. Of course, that's unusual for me. And you shall know the truth. You all there? John 8:32? All right. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Let's go to Romans 8, 1 and 2. Free from the what? Indwelling sin, right? Sin that's within us. Our sinful nature that's there constantly. And we yield to it often, more often than we should. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, does your Bible have the capital S, please? Okay, if it doesn't, burn it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me what? Free from what? The law of sin and death. He has set us free. That blood, that's the only thing that it doesn't cover us, like in the Old Testament. Their sins were covered for a year. But each year they had to go back. But now our sins are not covered. They're cleansed. They're gone. They're gone. There's no more remembrance with Him. The only remembrance now is with us. But the reality is that we will sin. We will stumble because the sin nature is there. And the Spirit is constantly striving with our flesh. Because our spirits are born again, right? They're renewed. Before we were dead in trespass and sins, our spirits were dead. But He came to live within us, filled us with His Spirit. So now our spirit is alive. And our spirit should not be striving, but it still does because of that sinful nature that we allow to rear its head. Then we start to follow it because we want to be entertained. There's desires that we want to do. And we know that if we put any desire in our lives before Him, it's what? Come on. It's sin. Don't be afraid of that word because it's real. It's there. It's reality. We're sinners. But our sins are forgiven. When we go to the Master, Lord, forgive me. And He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. All! That's the beauty of it. But it only comes by that relationship. The Holy Spirit working within our lives as we read the Word and allow it to come alive in our souls and spirits. It's the Word. It's His Word. We read it. It's written. And then the Holy Spirit brings it alive because He is the living Word. He is the one that's made it all possible for us to have this walk. Is it an easy walk? No. Because we're constantly in that battle. We're fighting against powers. They're there. There's UFOs. There's demons out there. And we're fighting constantly with them. And they're fighting with us. Satan had us. He'd love to get us back, but he knows he can't, so he's going to just do everything he can to make this life miserable. But, we all got buts, right? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Because that's where the power is. It's not in you. It's in Him. He's going to work these things out for us. He fights for us. I can't see those up there. But He can. Someday we'll see them. But they will be totally suppressed. Amen? And that day is not that far off. The more we allow the Word of God to stay first and foremost in our lives, we will be the winners because He won. He won. And He's fighting our battles. We can't fight them alone. We can't. We're too weak. Satan's real. And he has power. And the power that he has only can be used on us if God allows it. And if God allows it, there's good reason for it because there's something that has to be done in me. Because my heart is evil, deceitful. I don't know it, but he knows it. There's things in my life that he still has to get rid of. Some I know of and some I don't. But he's working on it because that's his promise. He said that if I'm faithful, he is going to help me, my mind, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's his promise. That's a promise. You can take it to the bank. Psalms 19:10. A gold mine of practical principles. It's 698. Arlene was supposed to tell me. But no, we got different Bibles again. Psalms 19:10. But I'm going to start at 8, please. I'm sorry. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's the Word of God. That's His truth. Amen. More precious than anything that we could ever lay our hands on. More precious than gold and sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. I was listening to, I forget who it is, one of the Calvary preachers, and he was talking about this friend that he had when they were working. He was a beekeeper, so this one day he brought in honey right in the comb, the honeycomb, and they were eating, and he said they were high for about 5 hours, and all of a sudden they crashed. It was so sweet, it was so succulent. I thought about that when I was reading this. I had a friend that did bees. He was a nice guy. He taught me how to do them, too, so I wouldn't get stung. Okay. Paul's instructions to be diligent. This is a word that's a very, very interesting. A diligent worker to study the Word. Diligent to study, not just to read them. How many of you read the Bible every day? How many of you study it every day? Good. More of you study it. It's okay to read it, and you should read it. You should study it. When you're reading the Word, it has a tendency to slip away after a while. But when you're studying the Word, you're diligently studying it and looking up different meanings and things like this, it stays with you much more because you've put extra effort in it to find out what He's truly saying. You go, remember, Scripture interprets Scripture, right? I've taken you to different Scriptures already, right? What, three of them? Scripture interprets Scripture. And that's another way that it's easy to remember. It's easy to hide it in your heart because you're really diligently going for it, not just to read it. We are to read it, but study it as much as you can. You know, I know he's talking to Timothy because he was a young pastor, but the Word applies to us. All of this applies to us too. It's not just for Timothy. And then here's the beauty of this. This was Paul's last letter. It was his last letter. And he knew he was going to be killed. He knew this. And he's writing all this exhortation to Timothy. Be strong in the faith. And he knows he's going to die. He's not getting out of the Roman prison this time. He got out once before, but this time he's not getting out. He's going to die. And he's exhorting Timothy. He's feeding Timothy this faith. And it's the same thing with us. Study the Word. Don't just read it. Let it become part of your life every day, even if it's a half an hour at night. And I found with my own self now that if I listen to the Word before I go to bed, I know that I'm going to sleep very easy and I'm going to fall asleep quickly. Before, just don't watch Law and Order just before you go to bed. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? What you're putting in your mind stays with you. It doesn't go away. But if you listen to the Word of God and put that in your heart and your mind when you go to bed at night, it works. That's His promise. Hide the Word in your heart. The only way to healthy, balanced living is through rightly dividing. Okay. Rightly dividing. Literally, cutting straight. It's like plowing a field. You keep straight on that line so you don't go to the left or the right. It's the same thing. Or building a road. You got to build it right. You're cutting straight through. You're being diligently dividing. Straight-on application of God's Word is the result of diligent study. The text calls us beyond casual approaches to the Scripture, telling us to refuse to suit the Bible to our own convenience or ideology. The Bible says what it says. It means what it means. If I don't like it, that's tough. I still have to abide by what it says. I cannot segment it and take a scripture here that I like and get rid of this one like Martin Luther did. Here's Terry. I think he tore James out of his Bible. He didn't like that. And he did finally end up having his own Bible. Doesn't compare to ours, but anyway. This is what Paul is saying. Context, context, context. Context, context, context. And what it says, and what it means, regardless of what you think or I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not just taking man's word.
Yeah. I can honestly say that's one good thing I learned in Bible college. I had some fantastic professors, godly men, I love them. And they just taught me so much. And some of them were younger than me, but they were godly men. And that's what I learned. And they said, you check it. You don't believe what I said. You check it for yourself. And that's always stuck with me. But sometimes I fail there too. Dividing of the Word of God does not mean to segment it, but to rightly discern its truth by capturing The Spirit of the Word. The Spirit of the Word. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits quite a bit if you keep at it, right? The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Go over to 54, 55, and 56. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I am him. So what do you think of that? Those three verses. You're going to take that literal? Literally? You're not? Why? He said it. Right? No, Scripture interprets Scripture, doesn't it? But we have a certain group that takes this literally. And they believe that when they take communion, the wine turns to blood and the cracker turns to the body of Christ. That was a figuratively. That means that we take His Word and we totally consume His Word because the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life, right? And it's the Spirit. We must know the Spirit of the Word. We have to read it and let it divide it. And we have to live it. And I was caught flat-footed with that verse, those three verses one time. But I won't go into that. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. Dividing the word of God does not mean to segment it. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God is our teacher. And as we read the Word of God, the Spirit of God gives us the discernment to know when we hear something that's not right. And that's why it's so important that we know this Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Just like Gary said, you remind us what the pastor said. You don't believe any man or any woman unless you check it out from God's Word. From God's Word. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you hear. Make sure it lines up word for word, verse for verse, book for book of the 66 books that are ours, that the Holy Spirit opens up our mind to the truth, not our intellect. You can spend 3 years, 4 years in school and get a lot of head knowledge, man's knowledge. Or you can go to a liberal theological Bible college. Because there's more of them now than there is true born-again colleges. They're all bringing in psychology, psychiatry, human wisdom. Well, this is what the mind does. This is what the mind doesn't do. So if you bring this into this part of your mind or that part of your mind, it's a BC. I'm not going to tell you what BC stands for. But most of you guys know what BC stands for. The Word of God. Our minds are controlled by what we want to do when we want to do it. No psychologist or psychiatrist has to tell me why I did this or why I didn't do this. I went and got went out and got drunk because I wanted to. Okay? Not because I had a bad childhood or my father beat me. I did those things because, yes, we learn things because we're always learning. But did a little kid at 2 years old learn to say no or mine? It was born in him. All these things are born in us, but we learn different things. We can be influenced if we want to be, or we don't have to be. You know, I don't blame anything on my childhood other than the guy that killed my cat, that's all. Everything that happened in my life that was adverse was my fault. Nobody else's. Not my father, not my mother, not my uncle, my brother. My fault. I got on that because of the schools, didn't I? And we can't blame the schools. If your kid's doing something wrong in school, are you going to put him in a Christian school? He's going to do the same thing. Okay? It's the heart. The heart has to be changed. And only Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to change the heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's not a person in this room that didn't come to Christ because of the Spirit. If you're truly born again, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. It had nothing to do with you other than you say, Lord, forgive me. That's the only thing you had to do with it. Paul also told Timothy, give attention to reading God's Word. But now he emphasizes studying like a worker. And this word worker from the Greek means toil and effort. So if you're going to study, it's going to be an effort. If you truly want to know. Anything worthwhile, right, is going to cost something. Anything worthwhile. Mike and I used to talk about different things, buying things. You get what you pay for. And that, you're going to get what you put into it. If you put the effort in, God's going to bless you. God's going to reward you. God's going to give you wisdom beyond what you could even imagine you would know about His Word. Because it's Him teaching you. It's Him opening up your understanding to these truths. It's not your intellect. Although it's good probably sometimes. But when it comes to God's Word, it's not your intellect. It's the Spirit of God working with your spirit to open up your understanding, to give you the discernment that you need. You can't function the way God wants you to function if you're not going to study the Word and let the Word come alive in you. It will change you. It's dramatic. It's wonderful. It's a great way to live. Not listening to some stupid man tell me something that I don't need that empty, profane garbage in my life. I need God's Word. Filling up my mind, filling up my whole life, walking me down this path and staying on that straight line because I can't do it on my own because I'll always get off that path because I want to be entertained. I want to do something to satisfy my flesh. Every time it happens, it'll always happen. When you allow your flesh, its desires. Well, God doesn't care. God cares if anything comes before Him. I don't care what it is. The Bible says, if it's not done in faith, it's... Excuse me? That's right. If it's not done in faith, and that's what the Scripture says. If you don't believe me, get a concordance and look it up. Study it. Not to read it, study it. See if I'm right. If it's not done in faith, it's sin. I don't care what it is. Psalms 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I wonder why it says, so I will not sin against you. Because when I sin, it's my will, right? Thy word I will hide in my heart, helping me not to sin against Him who loves me. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will contemplate, I will meditate. I will think on your ways. Memorizing the scripture also provides an immediate availability of God's word as a sword ready in witnessing and effectual spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But shun profane and empty chatter, for they will lead to more ungodliness. I'll leave you with this. Learn to control your thought life. Practice focusing thoughts on things that are pure, lovely, virtuous, and praiseworthy. And the only way you're going to get those is here. Not in some how-to book. You get it out of this book right here. No other book. Don't waste your money on a lot of books. How to, how not to. This is the book that tells you how to, how not to, why, and so on and so forth for your whole life. This is the only book you'll ever need to live in this life the way God wants you to live. Not the way you want to. The way He wants you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And I pray, my Lord and my God, that your Spirit will continue to guide us, convict us, lead us, and be gentle when we need gentleness. Be strong when we need that. For you know our hearts, Lord, and we don't. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, because of your perfect sacrifice and your love. All this is possible. Everybody said, Amen.